fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
And welcome to another Nerd Pride Radio bonus episode. That's right. My master list is so full that no single podcast can contain it all. This is fingertips number six, entitled What Jeff Said. At the end of the last podcast, episode 49, I ended by rolling up a Podomatic. Jeff's name came up, and then I got a phone call from work, and I had to abandon you guys, and you guys never found out what Jeff said. So here is what Jeff said. It says, movie that you loved that was largely hated or reviewed poorly. Not necessarily a so bad it's good movie, but it could be. Okay, that's what Jeff was asking me about. And this is a great example of why I want to take some of those Podomatic entries, some of the questions you guys send me, I want to pull them out and make them separate little episodes like this, because this is one that if I had answered off the top of my head, I would not have given you the best answer, the true answer, because I didn't know that one until I asked my wife. Let me explain. When I first read this question, and I was preparing to answer it on the podcast, the question is, movies are poorly reviewed that I love. And my first thought, Star Trek Into Darkness. That's the most recent movie that I absolutely fell in love with, raved about it, loved it, and everybody around me was kind of, eh, whatever. No, it was dumb. No, they shouldn't have done this. They shouldn't have done that. And everybody just kind of tore it apart. But I loved that movie. But unfortunately, it doesn't qualify for this question, because I go look up the reviews. It's like 80-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes. And every time I give you a percentage here, I'm talking Rotten Tomatoes. That's where I go for all of this. And so that one doesn't count. And so some of the others that I think of immediately, Cameron's Avatar or Cameron's Titanic, both of those movies, I loved them when I saw them in the theater, adored them when I first saw them. The overwhelming spectacle on the screen. James Cameron just knows how to make a movie that just takes your breath away when you see it for the first time. But those are movies that I loved when I first walked out of the theater, thought they were incredible. And then afterwards realized, yeah, they're not really that great. Avatar, I can't even bear to watch Avatar now. They're just, you know, in retrospect, not good movies. The 13-year-old girl in me still likes Titanic, but not the way I did when I first came out of the theater. But are these poorly reviewed movies? Because, you know, Titanic did win a Best Picture and all. I mean, honestly, it's an Oscar-winning film. And so I go to look, and no, both of those, just like Star Trek, they're both 80%, 80-something percent, like 89 for Titanic, I think. So those don't qualify. But that's the answer I would have given, because I wouldn't have had time to do the research. So this time I do the research, which means I ask my wife, hey, baby, what movies have we seen that weren't well-reviewed, but we loved them anyway? And she immediately says, well, The Mummy. I'm like, really? The Mummy wasn't well-reviewed? I love that so much, it doesn't even occur to me that people might not have liked it. But sure enough, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 50-ish percent, something like that, which means not horrible, but not great. And I love The Mummy. One of my favorite pulp action Sunday afternoon popcorn flick. I love The Mummy. But then she starts listing off some other ones. Oz the Great and Powerful. I'm like, yeah, that's another one that I liked it when we first saw it. In retrospect, some of the things bothered me enough that I know not my favorite. So, all right, drop that one. Then she starts naming off Shyamalan flicks. Ah, here's where you get it. Because Shyamalan, I think, is I think he was never much more than a mediocre to good director to start with. And I think the surprise success of Sixth Sense really did not do him justice. It set him up for something he could never live up to. And so his movies have been, since then, pretty well ragged on, which, you know, okay, Unbreakable did all right, and I like Unbreakable. Unbreakable is probably my favorite of his movies. But then follow that up, Signs. We loved Signs in the theater, and I still think Signs is a decent movie. But, you know, not great, but also Signs decently reviewed, too. And then comes The Village. And, oh, The Village. Oh, look, it's really modern day. Spoilers. Yeah, you know, the ending was really dumb, but I enjoyed the movie right up until that point. I thought it was a good film. There was good atmosphere, good acting, good. I enjoyed lots of parts of it. I just didn't like the ending. But even that one, you know, 43%, I think. All right. So then we get to, number five, his fifth film. And this is the one that I really want to talk about. His fifth movie, Lady in the Water. This is one that, all right, this meets the criteria of poorly reviewed. 24%. People did not like this film. They felt it just did not do what it was supposed to. But you know what? I still love it. After Unbreakable, Lady in the Water is my favorite film by him. And I just think it's a great film all the way around. It really is. And you know why? Because it's a meta story. It is a fairy tale about fairy tales. It's a fairy tale that deconstructs and breaks down fairy tales, points out their ludicrousness, and yet still obeys its rules. It's these meta movies like Galaxy Quest or Soap Dish or Shakespeare in Love. These are films that, all three of those, by the way, favorite films of mine, because all of them, they mock a specific genre or deconstruct a specific genre while yet loving that genre and being true to it at the same time. Galaxy Quest picks apart Star Trek while loving Star Trek and being a true Star Trek film in its own right and obeying all of its conventions while at the same time mocking them. Soap Dish does the same thing for soap operas. Shakespeare in Love does it for Shakespeare comedies. I love that format, and I think Lady in the Water was dead on with that. I mean, it's Paul Giamatti. Who doesn't love Paul Giamatti, all right? Bryce Dallas Howard, I think, is a brilliant actress. I thought the whole ensemble cast really came together on it, and I love Lady in the Water. I think it's great, and I think it is just really, really overlooked. I don't know if people just didn't get it or just didn't care or they were expecting something different. I even remember reviews that say, well, the twist in this one, as if a Shyamalan movie isn't a Shyamalan movie without a twist. I don't think there was a twist in this one other than the natural revelation that just comes towards the end of a movie. This was all stuff that we were building to, and all the signs in the movie pointed right to this resolution. I mean, it wasn't like it was a huge surprise. This was just the natural course of the film and the natural development of the characters. So there's my answer for you, Jeff. Lady in the Water. Great, great film, and the rest of you idiots just didn't get it. How's that? All right. This Fingertips podcast is a Nerd Pride Radio production. It's copyright 2014. The music is from They Might Be Giants song Fingertips off their Apollo 18 album. Check out my main podcast over at nerdprideradio.com and my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. That's all I've got for this episode. So listen to the creepy music.